Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. A blow to Washington's GOP establishment yesterday. Firebrand former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore defeated Luther Strange in Alabama's special primary contest to run for the U.S. Senate. President Trump campaigned for Strange. Mitch McConnell backed him with millions, but Roy Moore took it with Steve Bannon's backing. Now Bannon's calling for revolution in the GOP, looking for Firebrand challengers to move moderate to challenge more moderate Republicans across the country. This hour on Point, Roy Moore over Luther Strange in Alabama and the future of the GOP. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Is it Steve Bannon's GOP now? What would that mean? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Birmingham, Alabama is John Archibald, columnist for the Alabama Media Group all over this race. John Archibald, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So you say people are saying, might say Donald Trump lost this. You're not so sure. Looks like a Trump guy to you in another kind of clothing here with the victory of Roy Moore. How do you interpret the outcome?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying it's a referendum on Trump, and I don't believe that because you still have 80% of the people here, 80% of Republicans here who are still approving of the president's job. And they go to the rally, for instance, where the president came and said, you know, we love the president. We're just not listening to him. I honestly believe they listened to his endorsement in the same way they listened to me, the other things he says, not taking it literally, but taking what they presume it to mean. And they think Roy Moore is more Trump than Trump knows. And that's, I hear it time and time again. They just think they think the president doesn't realize yet that Roy Moore is his guy.
You write today, they are both renegade, talking of Moore and Trump. They are both renegade, anti-status quo, wild-eyed, wild cards who could wreck everything America has come to expect from Washington. That's what Republicans in Alabama want, or most of them.
Right, chaos. I think you talked about Steve Bannon earlier. There was a quote in one of the stories today from a woman who was preparing to vote for Luther Strange, Moore's opponent, and said she had heard the voice of Luther Strange and the voice of God when she went into the polling place to vote, and so she had to change her vote to Roy Moore. So, I mean, you have a situation here where Roy Moore, as you said, twice booted off the Supreme Court, a man who will autograph Bibles in red, is probably going to the Senate, and people are hearing Steve Bannon and the voice of God all in one fell swoop.
I'm reading here today, David Leinhardt, New York Times, talking about Roy Moore, calls him a proud bigot. I wonder what you think of that. He says he has argued that homosexuality should be illegal, Muslims should be barred from serving in Congress, 9/11 may have been divine retribution, Barack Obama wasn't born here. Says Moore is even Trumpier than Trump. What about Roy Moore? Give us a profile.
Yeah, Roy Moore does not fit into any particular mold. I mean, all of those things are true, don't get me wrong. And he has been kicked off the Supreme Court for putting the Ten Commandments out front in a large granite statue and for refusing to obey federal court order on gay marriage. But he's also has this interesting sort of populist streak where he is less likely to follow conventional GOP sort of lines when it comes to maybe poverty or maybe even health care. I'm not quite sure about that. He doesn't have real stated positions on things like climate change. I was on the radio the other day, did not know what DACA was. He is not well studied in the issues that are going to be debated in D.C., He's a complete wild card who will may or may not stand with the president or GOP leadership, and I kind of doubt he will. I mean, you got to remember, he's a guy who, in his own autobiography, talked about almost being fragged by his own men in Vietnam, and building, you know, sandbags around his bed because he had alienated everyone there. He's not well known for being able to get along with people.
Give us the background of this, how Luther Strange got into the race, and how that may have played a part in the outcome.
Well, that played a huge part. It played everything. He was Attorney General of the state of Alabama at a time when the governor of Alabama was deeply involved in a scandal involving his mistress and covering up that whole relationship. And the Attorney General's office was to be investigating that. Luther was Attorney General. The case was proceeding, and suddenly Luther went and interviewed for the job of the vacant Senate seat when Jeff Sessions was promoted to Attorney General. And he was given the appointment. The optics on it, I hate to use that word optics, sorry, but it looked terrible in this state. And it happened at a time during the Bentley affair, as we call it, when everybody in the state was focused on politics for a change.
Did it look like a quid pro quo, like I'm not going to pursue this if you make me the Senate candidate?
Both of those men, of course, deny it. It was never proven, but everybody in Alabama believes it was. Everybody in Alabama believes it was an inappropriate approach, that if he had simply said, I'm not taking that appointment, I'm going to run for it on my own, he would be the front runner. He would have won. But it stuck to him like tar, and he could never get around it. And then it went steadily downhill from there with a terrible campaign. It wasn't a referendum on Trump, but it was, I think, a referendum on McConnell. All the McConnell money, all the Senate leadership money did him no favors.
Mitch McConnell and his political action group poured millions into this race for Luther Strange, and they got Donald Trump and they got Mike Pence on board. Here was the vice president in Birmingham on Monday saying Luther Strange represents conservative values.
Luther Strange puts Alabama and conservative values first, and he always will.
And here was Donald Trump in Huntsville, Alabama last Friday to rally support for Luther Strange.
And on Tuesday, we're going to send a real fighter and a real good guy from Alabama to the United States Senate on a permanent basis.
John Archibald covers it all from Alabama. Why was Mitch McConnell so opposed to Roy Moore?
Well, part of it is that he's so unpredictable that you never know what he's going to do. I think they were both the president and McConnell were completely and totally sure that Luther Strange would do exactly what they wanted to do. And that's exactly what Alabama voters did not want. And I think McConnell's right in that Roy Moore is going to be completely unpredictable to him.
What are his chances in the final? He'll go up against Democrat Doug Jones.
Conventional wisdom would say that he's already in because, a Democrat hasn't been competitive in a quarter century here. Of course, the Democrats in Alabama really believe that Roy Moore being the nominee is the best thing that could happen to them. They have a guy who's reasonable, hasn't been involved in scandal, is not, flaming liberal in their eyes, and they think they have a swinger's chance to make it a race. He's going to have a very careful, solid campaign to do that.
How does this look in Alabama? A lot of people have voted for him, and here he is from outside being called a bigot. You're there in Birmingham. How do you look at the candidate, Roy Moore?
Well, Roy Moore is everything you said he was in the promo. He's no one you would ever imagine would become a senator in the United States, at least in previous eras. People here worry, they try to recruit industry, they wonder what flying the Roy Moore flag will do if, somebody's trying to lure an Amazon operation right now. I mean, what's Amazon going to do with Roy Moore as a senator? There's a lot of concerns about economic development. Business interests are scared to death. Business Council, all these people, big players are not happy with it. But they're losing their grip on the say, apparently, and it's not just happening here in Alabama, but it's threatening to happen all over.
Election night in a black vest and cowboy hat and waving a pistol for a time on the stage, John?
waving a pistol for a time on the stage. I think that was a direct result of many, many ads from Luther Strange saying he was not the NRA candidate and he had to prove his gun worth. I'm surprised his pistol was that small, though. That's kind of bucking convention down here. You don't actually see too many cowboys in Alabama.
No, I wouldn't think so. Not exactly cowboy country. And always with Roy Moore, it's separation of church and state. It's church before state. Here he was. It was in his victory speech last night in Montgomery.
I believe we can make America great, but we must make America good, and you cannot make America good without acknowledging the sovereign source of that goodness, the sovereign source of our law, liberty, and government, which is Almighty God.
John Archibald, in Birmingham, Alabama. What about Roy Moore and the U.S. Constitution? Is it first and foremost to him or not?
The Roy Moore's perception of the Constitution is first and foremost to him. The problem is that his view of the Constitution and almost everyone else is different. We had an interview with one of his former law professors a few days ago, who wrote an op-ed that basically said, you know, when Roy Moore seizes on an idea, he never gives it up.
But it's Bible before Constitution, if I understand correctly. Is that
right? And to him, freedom of religion means Christian, plain and simple. That's the real problem. I mean, he can quote the founding fathers from now until next Tuesday, but his interpretations of them are very different from what most Americans, I believe, feel.
He immediately came out and said, look, I'm with Trump, even though he was against me. There's not a problem here. Does that mean that he'll be on board with Mitch McConnell?
I doubt that very seriously. Even though Trump called him Ray last week, I think he will gladly jump on the Trump train because it is, regardless of the endorsement, it is the exact same group that elected him, that gave him the nomination. McConnell is, I believe, his enemy.
John Archibald, columnist for the Alabama Media Group, joining us today from Birmingham, Alabama, where Roy Moore has defeated Luther Strange, the candidate of President Trump. John Archibald, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking about the Alabama victory of right-wing firebrand Roy Moore over Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump's pick for the Senate, Luther Strange, in Alabama, and the battle for the heart, the identity of the GOP. Steve Bannon got right in the middle of this. Of course, he's left the White House, and he was in Alabama this week campaigning hard for not Donald Trump's guy, but for Roy Moore. Here he was. This was on Monday in Fairhope, Alabama, tearing into Washington's GOP establishment.
They took out 30-second TV spots. You know why? Because they think you're a pack of morons. They think you're nothing but rubes. They have no interest at all in what you have to say, what you have to think, or what you want to do.
They think you're a pack of morons. And here he was tearing into Mitch McConnell, the corrupt. McConnell had backed Luther Strange through a super PAC with about $10 million. Here's Bannon.
Mitch McConnell and this permanent political class is the most corrupt and incompetent group of individuals in this country.
And then this Mark Anthony moment from that same speech where Bannon says, look, Donald Trump's supporting Luther Strange, but hey, well, listen.
We did not come here to defy Donald Trump. We came here to praise and honor him.
One big package, where does it go? Joining us right now from Washington is Byron York, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Fox News contributor, Alabama native. Byron York, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And with us from Washington is Howard Fineman, Global Editorial Director for the Huffington Post, Huff Post. Howard Fineman, thanks for joining us.
Delighted to. Thank you.
Byron, what does this mean for the GOP? Steve Bannon wants primary challenges all over the place with, harder right candidates than might be out there otherwise. Bob Corker already saying he's out. He's dropping out in Tennessee. Do we have a GOP revolution in the making here, Byron, from the right?
I don't think it means as much as people are saying it means today. You did have this kind of gallery of folks go down to Alabama, Sarah Palin, Steve Bannon, Nigel Farage. And
Nigel
others.
Farage, the Brexit guy from England.
Yeah, he went down there. Sebastian Gorka, who was in the Trump White House for a while. So he had this group go down there and try to build up a lot of steam. But I think that there really were a lot of local factors that made a huge difference. And the biggest one being the way Luther Strange became a senator. And as John Archibald was saying earlier, a lot of Alabama voters, Republicans, believe that Strange became a senator in a corrupt deal with a corrupt governor, Robert Bentley, who later left office. And that was something that he really couldn't shake. Also, you know, Strange became got into electoral politics in his 50s, and before that had been a lobbyist. So he was kind of this representative of the swamp. And it seemed to me that there were certainly Alabama Republicans who believe Roy Moore is a nut who will embarrass them in the Senate. And then there are others who believe that Luther Strange became a senator as a result of a corrupt deal, and they chose Moore. So I'm not sure that it's a huge – it's certainly not a referendum of Trump, as John said, because everybody supports Trump down there anyway, the Republicans. And I'm not sure it's really a measure of that much of Trump world clout.
But you've got Corker out. You've got people talking about challengers in Arizona, Nevada, Mississippi, Tennessee. I mean, here's Judge Roy Moore last night in his victory speech. He was thanking all of his supporters, including God.
There's one you don't see up here. Let me just tell you. He's done more for my campaign than anybody, and that's Almighty God.
And here's Steve Bannon in Alabama. This was in Montgomery, celebrating Moore's victory and saying, look, you're going to have a lot more challenges to the GOP establishment coming. Here's Bannon.
As you all remember, last night we talked about starting a revolution with Judge Moore's victory. Well, Senator Corker stepped down today. He's not going to run for re-election. And you're going to see in state after state after state, people that follow the model of Judge Moore, that do not need to raise money from the elites, from the crony capitalists, from the fat cats in Washington, D.C., New York City, Silicon Valley.
Brian, New York, you say there's no revolution, but if there's not some kind of threat here, why did Mitch McConnell's gang pour $10 million into this race?
Well, I think what's going to depend in these other states is candidate quality. Now, if you look at that Roy Moore speech that he gave on Election Eve in Fairhope, the one in which he did briefly hold up the pistol to show his Second Amendment bona fides.
Yeah.
You know, on the political electricity scale, Roy Moore had about 10 million more volts than Luther Strange. And Roy Moore was he'd only been elected statewide once and got thrown out of that job, but
he insisted on having the Ten Commandments in the courthouse there.
Exactly. Somebody known all across Alabama, a lot of recognition, a figure who was associated with strong beliefs. And Strange, as a former lobbyist, was not associated with having strong beliefs. So the deal is, you've got to find a candidate in these other states. You've got to find a candidate who has that statewide recognition, who is voters believe really stands for something. You're not going to find that in every state where there's an endangered Republican. So this whole prairie fire idea, I think it's only going to catch when there's actually a good candidate out there.
Howard Fineman, what do you think? Steve Bannon's sure banging that drum right now and crowing over Roy Moore's victory, going hard. And Mitch McConnell, you know, he's looking in that mirror, clearly, with all the money he poured into Luther Strange. What do you see going on here, Howard?
Well, I agree with everything Byron said about the particulars of this race. I'm not from Alabama, but I'm a lot older than Byron, so I spent a lot of time in Alabama as a political reporter. And this is where I came into the movie. When I was just starting out in my career and when this phenomenon was just starting out, it was 1980, and I attended a God Save America Again rally at the Boutwell Auditorium in Birmingham that was conducted by the Reverend Jerry Falwell. Remember him?
Sure, very well.
And that event was one of the signal things of the 80 campaign. It led to the election of Jeremiah Denton as a senator and Albert Lee Smith as a congressman. And that was pure Roy Moore long before Roy Moore was on the scene. And if I can make an analogy here, this may strain things a little bit, but there's a permanent lava flow beneath the surface of American life. You can call it Mount Dixie and Mount Flyover, and it erupts periodically. This is modern politics. And then it produces a new structure that hardens and becomes part of the structure, which then annoys the same people who erupted earlier, and they erupt all over again.
Take it out of metaphor land. What do you mean?
What I mean is that there's a permanent clash between Republicans and others in office who want to use government for their purposes, and people who reject the federal government, generally speaking, because of its clash with their values and with their vision of life. Mitch McConnell wants to be part of government, ultimately, because he wants to use government to help big business, to create jobs from his point of view and so forth. And things like cultural hot-button issues and nativism and so forth get in the way of what business wants, fundamentally, which is what the Republican Party has been in modern times. But since the Reagan Revolution, it's also been about culture and responding to people like Roy Moore and what Roy Moore believes. And that's where we are again. Steve Bannon is absolutely right in his feel for and expression of the view of Trump voters. They resent being thought of as rubes. They resent the power of the coasts and the global power structure. And Bannon has his finger on the pulse, and he helped Donald Trump put his own sensitivities to all this to good use in getting elected. And you're going to see this all over the country. I agree with Byron. It depends on candidates. It depends on particulars. But the underlying structure of this, I think, is the way I've described it.
The implications of that we've got to look at. Clearly, Luther Strange kind of bewildered and at sea with all this. Here he was in his concession speech last night in Homewood, Alabama, said the political climate now is unlike anything he's ever encountered.
We're dealing with a political environment that I've never had any experience with. I worked in the North Sea as a merchant marine, my friend Neil Elliott. We had some rough seas. We had some seas that almost turned us over. But I'm telling you, the seas, the political winds in this country right now are very hard to navigate. They're very hard to understand. So it's been a tough deal.
Luther Strange going down in defeat last night. But this was the president on Friday campaigning for him, but looking already then maybe to have it both ways.
And by the way, both good men, both good men. And you know what? And I told Luther, I have to say this, if his opponent wins, I'm going to be here campaigning like hell for him.
And yes, his opponent won, and Roy Moore last night, happy to throw his arms around Donald Trump.
Together we can make America great. We can support the president. Don't let anybody in the press think that because he supported my opponent that I do not support him and support his agenda.
Byron York is with us. Howard Fineman's here. Lots of callers. David in Daleville, Alabama. David, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty well. What do you see?
What you and most of you, including Mr. Archibald, our homegrown Marxists, don't get is that about Trump, Bannon, and Roy Moore.
Wait, are you
Trump
calling me a Marxist? You're off base right there. So
No, not you.
What are you talking
Archibald.
About?
Archibald's a Marxist. I know Archibald.
Okay.
I don't know
about that either, but what where are you taking us, David? What are we missing?
Okay. Here. Trump's playing 3D chess on you. He was never along with Luther Strange. He had to do that to mollify McConnell. You can tell because you just played some things. He was, as you said, playing both sides. He always wanted this outcome. This is the one he wanted because Roy Moore is his kind of guy. It's just that he had to do this. You can tell that also because when he came down here Friday night, he wasn't a rousing thing for Luther Strange. What was the big thing he did? He went off on the NFL.
Oh, yeah. He was all over the place. I agree with you, David.
It wasn't about that. And Bannon had to leave the White House because he couldn't do Trump's bidding. Like, we didn't come to bury Trump, but to praise him.
Right.
He had to do that from outside. And Roy Moore, let me finally get to Roy. Roy,
yep.
Which I voted for twice and will vote for again, is, and this is a caveat, because I know your commenters, because I read that, who are the real bigots, will say, oh, here's another religious bigot. I'm not even religious. But here's Roy Moore's draw to me, and a lot like me, is that he is a human Molotov cocktail whom we intend to throw at the United States Senate and burn it down if necessary.
David, why?
Why? Why?
Burn down the United States Senate. I mean, that is the one of the halls of our democracy.
A cesspool with that is undermining the Constitution that has been. And Luther Strange was a go along, get along. Mitch McConnell is not going to like Roy Moore because he's not going to go along with the establishment. They don't get that they are losing the Republican Party. Because they are becoming to us in the heartland indistinguishable from the Democrats, and therefore a liability and not an asset. So that's where this is headed. Now, I don't know with Mr. York whether we have the Prairie Fire. I don't keep up with all the country.
Okay.
I don't know, you know,
yep.
How it'll work out in different places. But I think it's going to be more than Mr. York thinks. The fire is going to be a bit bigger than he is ready to put out.
David, stick with us there in Alabama. Byron York is your fellow Alabaman saying this is a bigger deal than you suggest. And you've got a lot of Republicans who want to burn down the Senate. That sounds like a revolution.
Well, certainly Mitch McConnell is extremely unpopular with Republicans across country. It's not just in Alabama at all. I've seen focus groups from around the country, and these are Trump voters. And basically, you show them a picture of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, and they get mad. I mean, and Mitch McConnell, I think, has an 18% approval rating in Kentucky. So there's certainly some of that. And McConnell, all the money that McConnell spent trying to get Luther Strange elected just made it worse from people who don't like McConnell. But I thought the caller brought up something really, really fascinating, which was this whole idea of 3D chess. I don't know if Trump is playing 3D chess. We have reports that he's mad that he went down there and he got talked into going down there and supporting Luther Strange. But we do have reports of people, Alabama voters, not really taking Trump completely seriously. They felt he came down, he sort of had to do this, and he, Donald Trump, really supports Roy Moore. That's what we know. And I think it's entirely possible the voters were playing 3D chess and decided that this was the guy who was really, Roy Moore is the guy who's really needed to help Donald Trump drain the swamp.
But, I mean, David's saying you do have a revolution inside the GOP in the making here. David, I want to come back to you for just a moment here. I mean, what do you say to people around the country who look at Roy Moore and say, this is not American values? I mean, he got booted out as Chief Justice in the Alabama Supreme Court because he insisted on putting church before state. You know, we got separation of church and state in our Constitution, said homosexuality should be illegal. Many people see that as very throwback. Muslims should be barred from serving in Congress. What about freedom of religion in this country? Yes, he's being called a bigot today. What do you say, David?
Okay, well, first off, he was the Alabama Chief Justice.
Yes.
That's a different position than one of the 100 United States senators.
But it still comes under the United States Constitution in a very direct way. That's a representative of the deepest laws, or should be.
And as I told you, I'm not particularly religious, not anymore. So I you know, I'm not really thrilled about some of his positions on those things, but I'm also not too worried that he can have that much affect on anything of that nature in the U.S. Senate. I see him mostly as being able to oppose the Republican establishment and to keep what I consider the more heartland values, which are widely poo-pooed in other parts of the country, especially the coastal regions.
I mean, as a heartlander myself, if we want to use that term, let me just point out that a lot of those values are not to do with defying the Constitution.
Well, you know, that's the interpretation of the Constitution as well. You know, it's been interpreted different ways at different times, Tom. You're well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a large group of Americans, we may or may not be the majority, that are really fed up with the way the cultural and political direction, trajectory, if you will, of the country has been going. And we were assumed to be flyover morons who would be quiet, and that is turning out to not be the case.
We're watching closely, David. We appreciate your call from Daleville, Alabama. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Alabama victory of firebrand Roy Moore over Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump's pick for the U.S. Senate, Luther Strange, in the battle for the heart, the identity of the GOP. Byron York is with us, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Alabama native. Howard Fineman is here, global editorial director for HuffPost. You can join us. What do you think? Is the GOP coming apart, headed in different directions? Is it becoming a different party, a party you want, a party you fear? What is it going to be? Is it going to be hard right, ideological, nationalist, theocratic, Roy Moore style maybe, the Bannon party, Trump, McConnell party? And of course, there's a final contest here to come. Doug Jones for the Democrats will be in there up against Roy Moore. And we will look at that as well. Here was Roy Moore in a campaign speech in mid-September in Huntsville, railing against the Washington establishment.
The people of Alabama know what's happening in Washington, and they won't stand for it. They won't stand for their vote to be bought and paid for, so that Mitch McConnell and his crew choose who comes from Alabama to represent the people of Alabama in the United States Senate. We're going to do something about it.
Roy Moore, September 16th. Steve Bannon in Alabama this week, campaigning hard for Roy Moore, despite the fact that the president came, and the president's taken his supportive tweets down now, we're told, but despite the fact that he came out and campaigned for Luther Strange, put his name right next to Strange, Steve Bannon saying, oh, Roy Moore, vote for Roy Moore, that's a vote for Donald Trump.
A vote for Judge Roy Moore is a vote for Donald J. Trump. And a vote for Donald J. Trump is a vote to make America great again.
Having it both ways there, or Steve Bannon's way anyway. Oklahoma City is calling. David, hi, David. You're on the air with Byron York and Howard Fineman.
Hi, Tom, Byron, Howard. I'm generally elated at any loss that Trump takes. This health care bill is a cancer survivor who's at risk. It would absolutely be so frightening for me. But in this case, I'm enormously disturbed. And it's interestingly, I mean, regardless of his defiance of law and the Constitution in favor of the Ten Commandments, as I was listening to David talk, this thought occurred to me. David from Alabama,
yes,
was just on. And that is that we, not that long ago, we were so preoccupied with Al-Qaeda that we gave little nod to a supremely religious extremist group called ISIS. And we just did not take them that seriously. And there is no difference in my mind between, you know, Roy Moore takes Christianity and imposes his concept, his interpretation, and says, it's my way or the highway. And that is a very, very dangerous thing, especially when it's in the face of the Constitution and law. So, you know, I see this movement as something that starts small in Alabama and could potentially just completely go, you know, off the charts. I'm a Christian, and I am offended by every word he says. He's going to try to just completely erase all the advancement that's made by the LGBT communities because he feels like it's not biblical. I mean, the law says otherwise. So I'm astonished that he won.
David, I appreciate your call from Oklahoma City. Byron York, you're an Alabaman. Are you concerned, or I guess disturbed would have to be the word to characterize David in Oklahoma, about Roy Moore, perhaps in the U.S. Senate?
Well, I think that what David was saying kind of goes beyond hyperbole. If anybody has watched the ISIS videos of people being shot, set on fire, blown up, you know, murdered in mass numbers.
We got that. There aren't heads coming off here. But
murdered in mass numbers in all sorts of ways. And to suggest that believing that marriage should be an idea for the states to decide rather than the federal government is simply not the same thing, and it's crazy to suggest that it is.
Let's not get too hung up. I get you on the ISIS front. People have died, certainly, in both countries, but we're not cutting off heads here. But what about his concern about separation of church and state and the direction in which Roy Moore would move the needle?
Well, I don't think he's going to move the needle that far as an individual senator. I mean, you get the impression from him that he wants to go up there and stop Mitch McConnell. Now, what we've seen in the health care fight is that three votes can stop Mitch McConnell anyway, on anything.
Yeah.
And now, if Luther Strange is leaving, and if Roy Moore does win the general election, which I think he will in December, he's going to be the president. If he goes up there with the idea of being a thorn in Mitch McConnell's side, what it means is even less gets done. It's not that somehow the country is going to move in the direction of Roy Moore. It just means that the Senate, which has had trouble already getting anything done, is just going to have more trouble.
I want to go back to Alabama in just a second and learn more about the Democratic contender for the Senate, Doug Jones, but a couple more calls first. Jody in Tennessee, Smithville, Tennessee. Jody, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I would just like to say I was born in New England, and when I questioned my father about my genealogy, he said, well, let me start like this. Part of your ancestors were shooting at us as we got off the ship, so, you know. Anyway, it's a joke. I have so much mixed blood in me, I don't even get along with myself.
Where are you taking us, Jody? What's your point?
My point is I've been to the Salem Witch Museum, and I've also swam in the river where Lucy Stone, the county where she was born. My point is those who forget history are destined to repeat it.
Jody, we're going to take it right there, and I appreciate your call. Ida in Nashville, Tennessee. Ida, you're on.
Hi. Thank you, Tom, for taking my call. The characters involved in the politics right now in this discussion, there's much about them that is alarming, I find. And the very base, as has been opened in this conversation, is separation of church and state being the base. And what concerns me is I think we have a huge number of Americans starting in Alabama and going nationwide, especially in rural America, that don't vote. And I think we need something like the return of a Freedom Riders group that goes into these communities and help them understand that they need to start voting for their best interest, and that many of these politicians that we're talking about today and the likes of Bannon and some of those characters do not have the people's interest at heart. We have to vote.
Of course, I mean, people did vote in Alabama, maybe not as many as you'd like, but they elected Roy Moore in the primary anyway, Ida.
But there's a sleeping audience.
All right.
A sleeping audience.
Let us hold that thought. We got it, Ida. I appreciate it. In Nashville, Margo in Vineyard Haven, Massachusetts. Margo, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for taking my call. My concern here is there was a New York Times article with regards to the majority, the tyranny of the minority. And I think this is what's happening here, although I do think that there's so much racism and bigotry and misogyny right now. And I think Trump clearly is in tune with that, and because he himself is that way. And so is, Mr. Moore in Alabama. And so I think like minds are reinvigorated by this type of a candidacy and by this type of rhetoric. And I think, you know, social media has a hell of a lot to do with this. And it frightens me because as long as we have an electoral college in this country and gerrymandering, that this tyranny of the minority are going to be the ones that set our laws. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether they think God should be in the courtroom or not. This is not the majority of the American people.
But it's Roy Moore's view, and he's on his way to fight for that Senate seat. Margo, I want to learn more about Doug Jones, so forgive me, but let me turn back to Alabama, if I may. I appreciate your call. Howard Byron's standby Lita Gore joins us right now from Birmingham, reporter at the Alabama Media Group, covers politics there. Lita, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
Can you tell us about the Democrat that Roy Moore will be up against in the general election for U.S. Senate?
Sure. Well, Doug Jones is a well-known name in this state. He's probably one of the few well-known Democrats. He is generally well-received. He has a strong background. He's been a U.S. attorney. And sort of his claim to fame, probably a poor choice of words, but the thing he promotes is that he was involved in prosecuting, you know, decades after it occurred, the perpetrators of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing.
Wow.
And, you know, really...
Civil rights
now,
landmark and...
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. And in the case had sort of, you know, it's one of these backdoor cases where everybody knew who was involved, but nobody really wanted to take the step and prosecute. And when he got involved, the men who were in their, you know, 60s and 70s by that point ended up going to jail. And so, you know, he's sort of been one of these last white Democrats in this state, which the party is mostly African-American. And he's an interesting choice. He's one of their better, the Democratic Party's better candidates that they've had in a while. But, you know, as I've said last night, everybody knows, you know, I used a good Alabama term, which is slow your roll. The numbers, he faces a monumental battle. I don't care how great of a candidate he is. Mm-hmm. The numbers just aren't there in this state.
I want to hear his voice just a little bit. This is Doug Jones. Last night on WVTM, Birmingham Television, saying there's a stark contrast between himself and Roy Moore.
If anybody does any modest amount of research on the candidates, they're going to see a world of difference between myself and Roy Moore on leadership, on our issues, on what is important to the people of the state of Alabama.
But it's a stretch if the polls are right. Here's Senator from Maryland, Chris Van Hollen, on ABC's Powerhouse Politics podcast last weekend, describing the primary runoff in Alabama as a full-blown Republican civil war. Saying Alabama would be tough for challenging the GOP, but express some optimism, too.
We all know it's Alabama. That's been tough territory for Democrats, and no one's kidding themselves about how tough politically Alabama has been. On the other hand, we have a terrific candidate who's connected to people in Alabama, and Republicans have just gone through months of beating the hell out of each other.
So we'll see how that works out. Lita, what about the battle between Strange and Moore? Did it do more damage? I mean, there were a lot of negative ads down there. That money that Mitch McConnell pumped in didn't go nowhere.
No, you're right. I think there's sort of this Alabama-centric thing that people are missing when they discuss that race, which is while McConnell money and Trump endorsement, all that was involved, Luther Strange's candidacy was tainted from the day he accepted the appointment from Governor Robert Bentley, who resigned. You know, 3 months after he appoints Bentley, he resigns as part of a plea deal. Strange's office, he was our attorney general, was investigating the governor, and he accepts an appointment from the governor he's investigating.
Yeah.
His candidacy was flawed from that day. And the other thing I think people miss is while Strange on paper was a very good candidate, that one fact doomed him. Because Alabama voters have rejected Roy Moore as governor twice. Once he finished fourth in the Republican primary, didn't even make it past the primary. And so I don't know if it's a love affair with Roy Moore. I think there is some of that. As much as it was a rejection of Luther Strange and Robert Bentley, and I think the only reason Strange even polled as well as he did is because you had the president's endorsement. So it wasn't like he was a perfect candidate and everyone just chose this firebrand over him at all.
Yeah, we got it.
That's a factor people miss.
Let me get a call here. Nick in Barberton, Ohio. Nick, you're on.
Hi, Tom. As a queer person that's also into mathematics and a mathematician, I have to say that like a lot of what's going on here is not just confined to Alabama. It's a scary thing because, well, I mean, we see this. It's just Christian theocracy kind of stuff, and it's. I think there's a big brain drain kind of going on. Like, I would never really want to work in Alabama or anything. And I feel like that it's spreading to other states, and I'm actually looking at like ways to get out of.
Nick, you're breaking up on us, but we certainly got the gist of that. Byron, no prairie fire here, but Mitch McConnell seems pretty worried about it. Do you see the GOP sort of, I don't know if struggling is the right word now, to hold together its identity here? Donald Trump has been a challenge to the mainstream GOP. Roy Moore's victory is certainly a challenge to Mitch McConnell's suzerainty in the Senate. We've got Bob Corker headed out in Tennessee. Are you sure there's not something brewing here, primaries, that would shift the balance more in the Roy Moore direction?
Well, there's no doubt the Republican Party is struggling. I mean, really struggling. And they've been struggling since Donald Trump caught on, because he caught on by blowing up a number of Republican and conservative orthodoxies on trade, on immigration, on entitlements, on foreign entanglements. And the party split. I mean, you've got to remember, you know, there was a significant Never Trump faction inside the Republican Party that all the way up till the first day of the Republican convention was hoping that they could somehow stop him. And so the party itself is divided. I mean, you mentioned very briefly Jeff Flake in Arizona, who's mm-hmm. who's in a pretty weak position. Who's written a very anti-Trump. It made a lot of very very anti-Trump statements. So you have like conservative stalwart senators who are opposed to their Republican president. So they're in a tough shape right now, and it's all, you know, couldn't happen to some nicer guys. I mean, it's all as a result of, you know, forces inside the Republican party. So there's no doubt about that, and this is one more piece of that. I don't think I think viewing it as this, some sort of religious right resurgence is kind of an old-fashioned, maybe 80s style way of looking at it. I think
it's more than that. We get that.
More complex than
yeah.
that.
Howard, we just got half a minute here. Do you see the GOP shedding its skin, becoming something new? No, Steve Bannon's GOP.
Since let me just say that the difference between back in the 80s when I covered that event in Alabama and Birmingham and now is that the country has changed enormously. A sort of heterosexual white Christian crusade would have been more mainstream back then. It's not as mainstream now. I stick with my volcano analogy. The question is, who's going to get hurt this time around?
Well, it's Roy Moore in the primary. That's a fact. We'll see where it goes. Howard Fineman, Global Editorial Director with HuffPost. Thanks very much for being with us, Howard.
Thank you.
Lita Gore at Alabama Media Group in Birmingham. Thank you very much for your time today, Lita.
Thank you.
And Byron York, Chief Political Correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Thank you for joining us, Byron.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for being with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.